Hello, everyone, and welcome to another installment of Drive the Valley, presented by Chippewa Valley Mazda, hosted by our friend Bill Bertrand from Chippewa Valley Mazda. The first few episodes, by the way, go and listen to all the episodes that we've got. Bill talking to some of his great friends and pillars of the community of the Chippewa Valley. But the first few were fueled by Diet Coke. The last couple by this tea concoction you've got there, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to the Herbalife folks, because I seem to have been buying into this right now. So as you can tell, I've thinned down by about a half a pound since our last podcast. So must be working really well.
Oh, you're trying to get that summer body, aren't you?
I am. I'm getting my boating body all set to go.
Well, again, you have taken us through some great conversations in the last few months, and I know you've got a great guest here and a familiar voice to a lot of people in the area.
Yeah, this should be a fun one today. So it's like VH1's Behind the Music. So this person is for sure going to be a familiar voice, is a very good friend of mine, somebody that I've worked with and alongside with over a number of years. And I always think there's a mystique to this because, you know, I mean, I know this person individually, but, you know, you hear this person, you know, most of you in your car rides or when you're at work or places like that. And, you know, you never get to know the real person. So today my guest is none other than the infamous Chippewa Valley treasure, Sue Kelly, from I-94. So how are you doing, Sue?
I'm doing great. What's in your tea? That was really nice of you to say that. Thank you.
This is I mean, it's supposed to be really genuine, these podcasts.
It sounded like it was. Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
I always think, you know, I mean, I always think fondly of you.
And I appreciate it, as do I you. When I was asked to do that, do this with you. And by the way, I will have you know, this is my first ever podcast.
Wow.
So I'm super excited. This is exciting
for
me.
Are you being a traitor to your industry right now by you know, joining a podcast?
I don't think so. I think podcasting is kind of a supplement to radio, to be honest with you.
I agree. I actually do agree with that. And I mean, that's actually, you know, aside from getting to know you a little bit, and that's obviously what I want to do, but I'm interested to learn a little bit about the radio industry. And I mean, we certainly know it's evolving and things mm-hmm. like podcasts are starting to happen and people listen in different, you know, the way they get their information is a little different these days with all the events of things happening out there. So I'd love to talk a little about that. But before I do all that, mm-hmm. because I love you so much, I want to know, I think everybody wants to know a little about you. So how did one get into radio? And by the way, for everybody out there probably already knows this, but Sue has been like, she drifts away for a few days and then she kind of drifts back, and you're back doing middays, I think, now, right?
I am 9 to 2 on, can I say where?
Yeah.
This is like open forum.
This
right?
is it.
This is cool.
It's all about you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I love hearing that. 9 to 2. Yeah. On I-94, which is my station that I was with for many, many years. And it's my baby. So it's great to be back doing it on a very part-time capacity. But it is cool because I also do theater, and I haven't done theater for the last 2 years because of, you know, stuff. You know, there was some stuff going on last
Things
year.
Things happening.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a great creative outlet for me. So it's fun to be able to come back and reconnect and get back in the studio and just kind of have that nostalgic vibe.
It's funny, too, because, I mean, the Chippewa Valley loves its radio people.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
so
they really
much.
Do. It's you know, it's one of those towns that, you know, I always enjoy that connection, mm-hmm. you know, because as we all know, you know, and many of us have kind of, you know, witnessed that, you know, radio had, I mean, I did it years and years and years ago, mm-hmm. and I wasn't good like you at it. And that's why I'm doing cars now. But, you know, it was such a huge thing. And now, you know, a lot of things are syndicated. I don't even know if people know that. Like, you know, in today's mm-hmm. world, I mean, I know your station doesn't, like everybody's,
correct.
You know, does that at a local level. But how does that kind of work? Like, I mean, it's a lot of them are what, syndicated now, and what's that process work
what
like?
What that basically is, you know, if you hear somebody, you know, I mean, obviously we know like your John Tesh's of the world and your Howard Stern's of the world. They're obviously syndicated because they're not here in Eau Claire, but
yeah.
they are syndicated in the sense that they are, it's essentially a mass broadcast. You know, you're in this city, you're in that city, you're in this city, you're in that state, you're in that market, things like that. But what we have always, and what I personally, but also my my co-patriots, all my fellow radio peeps who I love and adore, have been so proud of, is that we are local. I think local, it has always been important. I think it's always important to folks in communities such as this one. But I also think in the last year and a half, it has been even more so. And I hope that it's an appreciation of everyone who listens. Because when you tune in and you listen, I don't know if you can say tune in anymore because we're in a digital world. But when you, back in my day,
next to the 8-track.
Exactly. But when you're listening to your favorite person, you're listening to a person who is part of the community. We live here. We walk amongst you, which I know sounds creepy, but it's actually a positive thing. You know, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
We don't have to guess. We don't have to Google something from 8 states away. We know what's going on because we're here when it happens.
Well, and that's so in the market, that's kind of what happens, right? So, you know, Bob Smith is the radio announcer, and he's the radio announcer in Eau Claire. And then he's the radio announcer in Cincinnati.
Correct.
And the radio announcer in Atlanta.
Right.
And so...
And his studio is in, like...
His basement.
Fairbanks or something. In his brother's basement or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And which isn't a bad thing.
And again, it's not. It's just, it's funny because, you know, as and having came out of the industry and you're in the industry, you know, over time, that's where you started hearing, you know, the newscaster call it, you know, in Eau Claire News today. And
yes.
You're like, oh, yeah, that's good, you know.
Yes, you can always tell if somebody comes on and they say things. I remember when I first moved here, from the Madison area. I grew up in Stoughton. And my first gig was an afternoon shift with one of our sister stations that doesn't even exist anymore. But I remember looking at the word Weyerhaeuser and going, how do you?
Yeah.
There's so many vowels. But if you're pronouncing it, you know, same with Chippewa. It's not Chippewa.
Yeah,
it's Chippewa. And people are very protective of that sort of thing. If you grew up with a certain type of familiarity with where you're from and such, if someone comes in, you know, it's like somebody saying your name wrong. You know right away they're not, you ain't from here, are you?
I used to live in, I lived in Kentucky for a little while, and I remember if you called it Louisville, you by local standards, you were going to have a problem.
You were an
it's
outsider.
Louisville.
Louisville.
So, and you just had to say it with a certain inflection. So, I mean, that's, mm-hmm. it's true. And that's where, you know, I don't know, it has to be strange for you because, you know, you're in an industry that is changing and is evolving. And how do you honestly think that radio continues and radio still has a place and it goes with it, so to speak.
And I truly believe it will. I think it's so funny that, you know, people are saying that now. People said it 10 years ago. People said it 20 years ago. People said it 30 years ago. Days of Our Lives started on the radio. You know what I mean? Radio used to be the entertainment, whereas because there wasn't television. At a certain point, there was hardly even movies. You know, there was the black and whites. There was the silence. But that wasn't as easily accessible, you know, necessarily. So because, and I have a point to this, that my point is it is always going to evolve because what it's going to do is it's going to continue to put the perspective back to the people who are listening and ask them, what do you want? What is it that you're moving towards? What type of entertainment do you want? Okay, then we're going to do that because that's why we're here. We're here for you all. We, you know, I remember when I was a kid too, and I loved TV.
Gosh, you remember back that far?
Back in my day, I do. Our TVs were black and white, and they were 13 inches. They were smaller than computer monitors.
Those.
Oh my gosh. But I remember asking my grandma, who was born in 1918, what were your favorite TV shows? What TV shows did you love to watch? And she laughed at me. And no, what were your favorite TV? She says, we didn't have TV. I said, oh, you didn't have a TV? No, we didn't have TV. What did you do for fun? We listened to the radio.
Yeah.
And I remember that as a kid thinking, that's so antiquated and it's so weird. How much fun is that? But that was at the time where they had your theater of the mind, your genuine shows, full-fledged shows where you could hear this. They had the sound effects, they had the music, they had the acting, they had the core, they had all of it. And that was where you were able to escape into your mind, and you were able to listen to what it was that you wanted to put on the screen that was in your brain.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it will continue to evolve to the, to you know, 20 years from now, yeah. We're going to look back and we're going to say, you know, remember that time just after COVID where radio was this way and that way? Well, it's still going to be around.
Yep. No, I obviously 100% agree with that. How did you, what was your journey like? Like, what got you into radio? Was this like when you went out and you said, did you go to broadcast school?
I did.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a super narcissistic story. So bear with me.
Oh, that's okay. I love those.
Okay. I'm being real here. But genuinely what happened is in my former life, I worked as a human resources assistant at an insurance company. And I actually just found out that I was not qualified for a position that I was already in because I didn't have a degree. So I was kind of pondering, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? Or whatever. I was early 20s. And I went out to dinner with some friends, coworkers after work, and they were having trivia night at a local place in Madison. And the girl's voice, she worked at a local radio station there, and so she was hosting the trivia, and her voice was shot. So she was standing right next to me, and she was on the microphone, and she had her cue cards in front of her, the questions and everything, and I looked at her, and I said, do you want me to take over? Do you want me to do that? And I'm not kidding you. This is so, so egotistical. But I hopped on the microphone, and I started talking and asking these questions, and I heard my own voice, and I'm like, oh, I like that.
That's awesome.
And that, I mean, that, and then the next day I ended up calling Madison Media Institute at the time. It was just a certificate tech college. Now I think it's a full blown college. I called the next day and got enrolled and went through the classes, and pretty much the rest is history, I guess.
So when you got into broadcasting, you got into radio, has Eau Claire been your base, or did you work in other markets? Or
number one, the only, and the only, not only is Eau Claire the only market I've ever worked in, that's not true. I guess I did some syndication, I guess, if you will, for a station in North Dakota, but I did that from my house here in Eau Claire. But I've not only worked in Eau Claire is the only community where I have done what I do, but the same building. It's had a couple of different incarnations over the years, but it's same building, same people since 2001.
Isn't that crazy when you really think about that? Like,
it doesn't happen in radio.
Yeah.
That's not a common thing, but there are people who work in that building who have, again, who've known each other for 30 years, 40 years, you know.
That's crazy.
And it's cool to see that you start out as a family and then you kind of look back and you realize, I watched that kid grow up. Yeah. I watched that kid have a kid. I watched that, you know. It's cool. It's a cool family feel for sure.
Yeah, that's got to be, I mean, that has to be fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be fulfilling. So I remember, and it was, you know, I was trying to think back on this too. I mean, obviously we're well connected and we've known each other for a really long time. But
yes.
Did we meet on a remote? Is that?
Yes.
I mean, it's so
here.
Yeah.
It was here.
That's so crazy to me.
Uh-huh.
And do people still do remotes? Are those still a thing?
They were up until
COVID.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, they were pretty common. And those have evolved too. I mean, it used to be where you take all your equipment. You've got your antenna, which could pretty much fry an egg just by putting it next to it. It'd be radioactive, you know, but it was this huge antenna that we'd have to put in the vehicle. And then you had your transmitter, and then you had your microphone and your headphones and everything else.
You had to pack gear to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Deal.
You were seriously like, if you, and you didn't have a roadie, it's not like you had anybody who helped you. Well, I did because I was pathetic and begged, but you were really, you know, schlepping around your own stuff. And now it's gone from that to when you go to a remote. Or your remote live broadcast, you see we're on our phones.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's so crazy too. And there are some people who, it's actually kind of cute because that the way they did it before was with the transmitter, you know, or the Marty, they called it. And well, where is it? I want to use that. It's like, no, here's your phone. This is how you do this now. It's much easier, you know.
I've noticed that too, you know, and obviously as the years have gone on, when, you know, you used to come set up and, you know, the microphone was corded, mm-hmm. so to speak, and hooked up to something. And, you know, now when a remote happens, or in the past when I did, you know, the last remotes I've done, it's all done by cell phone. It's mm-hmm. digital. It's just, mm-hmm. I mean, the world has changed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. And you could plug your microphone into your phone and, you know, I mean, just kind of go from there. It is. It's crazy to think, even with me, I've been doing this since 2001. You're only talking 20 years for me. And in comparison to some people's careers, mine's just a baby.
So what keeps you coming? I mean, what keeps you coming back?
I don't. It's so funny because I had the only program director I've ever had, I guess. He's retired now, but he was so funny because he thought, well, you're kind of into this, but you're not really into this. And after a while, he's like, you are into this because it gets into your blood. It's just like anything else. You have a passion for something and you can walk away from it for a while and you can maybe say, oh, well, I'm just, you know, I'm hanging up the headphones and I'm just going to do my own thing. But for whatever reason, everything is cyclical. So it just kind of draws you back. And I had a great opportunity to be able to come back. And thanks to your flexibility and the magic of radio, I get to reconnect with the, because when I left, it was the people that I was talking to. I really, really missed that.
Yeah.
Even though you're in a studio and you're by yourself, you're getting the emails and you're getting the text messages from people and people are calling you. And so people are listening. You know, you don't realize it until you get feedback. And sometimes you don't get feedback and that's okay because you're doing what you love, but it's that connection with people that I really, really missed. And so now it's cool to be able to get back into that.
Well, and not to, I mean, it's funny because, you know, I mean, obviously I've known you in person. I've sang karaoke.
Oh my goodness.
Saw, what was it? Black Betty. Performed well at the Corners.
That was a sight
probably
to behold, wasn't it?
Our best concert night that we've ever been to.
I agree.
But you know, so I get to know the real you, right? Like, so I've been fortunate
I'm
enough
so
to
sorry.
Have you be, I mean, for the most part, like we work like 8 feet apart from each other. We really don't, you know, irritate each other too bad on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say how cool it is that relationship turned into something that you ended up joining our team and working with us for a long time. And it's been a pretty fun journey.
It has been. And
I want you to say, this is the part where you like, act like you're super grateful and you just love, you know, working for Chippewa Valley Mazda and it's just amazing.
You're adorable because I'll
let
I was
you
just
take
about
it from
to,
here.
But then you interrupted me, so. No, I genuinely feel that because I moved away. I ran away from home for a little while and I lived in Charleston, South Carolina. And I remember the day that I was on a FaceTime call with you, wasn't it? When I still lived down there, and we talked about me coming back up here.
Yep, I think so.
And that was like 7.5 years ago already.
And then I think you just kind of like, I mean, so you're one of those people, which I love, like you just kind of snap the finger and you're like, okay, I'll be back in like 2 weeks. Or
it
I'll
was.
Be back in a week.
Whether you want me to be there or not, I am so just coming in and I showed up and you handed me a uniform and that was pretty much it.
So, you know, not to, you know, we can't, you know, I won't make it all about Bleeding Hearts, but you're the biggest pet person I've ever met in the world, right? So you're really closely connected to Bob's and
yes.
Bob's
House
for
Dogs. Yeah.
So, you know, aside from you, I mean, Marbles, I mean, I know, like, you know, your journey with pets and
yes.
we share, you know, all that same stuff. We're both
right.
pet lovers. But what is Bob's? Like, I mean, a lot of people don't. That's one that's sort of far out for people. It's not like going to the Humane Society. What is it?
Oh, my gosh. How much time do you have? Okay.
Yeah, so. I knew if I started this, it was. Do you know why I waited till towards the end of the podcast?
Because you'd be able to cut me off. I know that's why. So you could get all the other stuff talked about first. That's why. It's very smart man. Yeah. Bob's House for Dogs is a foster. So what it is literally a gigantic doghouse. And when I say that, I mean it is a big, comfy, cozy house with heated floors that has couches and chairs and blankets and maybe a few kennels where dogs that are seniors, dogs that are maybe a little too skittish for the hustle and bustle and the loudness and activities of a shelter to really show their true colors, where they can come and be in a more relaxed environment where there aren't cages, there aren't too many other dogs. And it's this is where I'm going to have to say Humane associations are amazing, and the ones that we have here are amazing. We work with all of them. But there are certain dogs where, for whatever reason, not their fault, they end up needing to find a place for their third act in life, you know. And Bob's House is a place for them to be able to, you know, hang out with people, and it's really quiet, and there's a couple of different programs, you know, up until, and I'm not sure, I don't think they've started it up yet, but the Canine Companion, the program where we visited, I think we had like 29 nursing homes or
wow.
20 nursing homes, something like that, where every week we would take different dogs to go visit the residents, and it was something that they all looked forward to, and the dogs looked forward to it. And so you are getting them into an environment where they can be around people on a regular basis, and they can really let themselves flourish, and they can shine and be the dog that they are, but don't necessarily want to show you that when they're in a shelter environment.
Bob sounds like a place that, I mean, you're saying third act. I'm kind of wondering if there's a people place like this, but.
You can, well, you want a place to stay? I might be able to arrange it.
Seriously,
for you.
Why not? I mean, but, you know, it's true. Like, I mean, so we got, you know, Uno, who we
yes.
fondly named because we got him from a shelter.
Yes.
And he had one eye, but it's the same thing, right? Like,
yes.
He's really wouldn't do well in most homes. And we, you know, I mean, certainly, I mean, I love him to death. I would never trade him for anything in
of
the world.
Course.
But, you know, there's challenges with taking care of certain pets.
Correct. That's the other thing, too. It's being able to get them to the point where you can take a little bit of time to really, I guess, I don't want to say vet people because that sounds so unfeeling. But just really dig in and get to know the people who are interested in these dogs, because they're not. Some of them are not for everybody. You know, there are some challenges and things. It's just like when you get a puppy, it's like, you know, 6 weeks into a puppy, you're like, I'm never doing this again. And sometimes there are situations where if you have a pet that does have health issues and there's medication issues and there's extra added time that you spend with that and costs and things like that. And they're not all. Certainly
right.
They're not all in those situations. You know, it's just that Bob's House is a great place for dogs like that to be able to come to just chill for a little while and just decompress.
You kind of said it when we started out, and you're like, hey, you know, I mean, I love radio and I love, you know, theater. So we haven't been able to, you know, given circumstances, we haven't been able to to be out and about, and we're both highly social creatures. But do you have any insight on when theater's starting back up and when you kind of expect to be able to do those things? Again, I know you're pretty involved in that.
Yeah, so. Some of them are, you know, where there's obviously a wait and see factor. Yeah. I've been doing my heart and passion lies with the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild, but there are so many amazing theater organizations in the area. One's just up the road here. And I know that there has been some, you know, with social distance and masking, of course, and things like that, there have been some shows that have been done in some places. And then there's virtual. Virtual was a big thing, particularly last year when everything still was shut down. So it's kind of, again, and some of it is a wait and see, but the other of it is, okay, here's a plan we have in place. We're going to implement it for this date and then we'll get to that and then we'll see how it goes. You know, just a wait and see.
So what was the last role you played?
Well, technically I did, I was the ghost of Christmas Past for a radio version of A Christmas Carol in December, this last Christmas that, I'm going to throw his name up because he did a fantastic job with you. Putting it together, John Murphy, from Midwest Family, and Luke as well was Luke Anthony also was instrumental in producing probably one of the most amazing shows I've ever listened to on the radio. I listened to every single production that they had, and there were regular theater people who came in and voiced the characters. And it's my favorite story. And so when Murphy actually reached out to me, because it was a project that was near and dear to him, and he reached out to me and asked me to do it, I could not have been more honored. Actually being on stage, the last role that I played, and to be honest with you, was my name Mary? I think in Caught in the Net at the Little Grand Theater in Eau Claire. And it was a incredibly taxing and exhausting show, but at the end of the day, it was amazing, and I had such a great experience. There were 7 doors involved on that stage.
Wow.
And they all got slammed at least 10 times.
I was just thinking back to, I mean, you know, the Eau Claire peeps. Did you ever, were you ever in any of the Fannie Hill stuff, or did you ever do any of that?
No, unfortunately, I did not get involved with theater. It was 2001 when I moved up here. 2002 was the first show I did. And Fannie Hill was one where they were so, they just had such a great cast of characters that, you know, they kind of did their own thing in a great way. It was in a great way. But I never had the opportunity to be able to get myself integrated into that group. And I'm so, so sad that it's not in existence anymore. It just makes me so sad.
Yeah, no, it was really sad to see it go.
Yeah.
So you were talking about it earlier, and we talked about you moving back here and whatnot. But where's hometown?
Where did I live? Where did I grow up?
Yeah.
Stoughton, Wisconsin.
That's right.
Down
you
by
did
Madison.
Say that a while
yeah.
ago.
Yeah. yeah. I,
and your family moved away.
My parents retired to Fairfield Bay, Arkansas.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Same year that I moved up here, they retired. And then I still have a brother down there. I have a brother in Colorado. I have a niece in Colorado. I have another niece down in Madison. And then my dad's family all live down in that area.
So what are your, so, I mean, things are, you know, we're starting to at least pretend like we're normal again. So what's on the horizon for you? Like what
for me
is,
specifically, like personally,
yeah.
I cannot wait to get back on the stage again and do theater if they'll have me, honestly. And I actually just started dipping my toe into professional voice acting. I actually have a couple of professional demos that I'm horrifyingly terrified to send out because I hate rejection. I am not good at it.
So what is that? What is that like ads for places? You do actually voiceover work in terms of that, or is it?
It can be, but I would like to branch out more into like audiobooks, narration, you know, anything that you hear like on the Discovery Channel or, you know, like your Ken Burns documentaries where it's that voiceover. Where it's just telling the story and you're hearing that voice, stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm an Audible person in
okay.
the evenings. A lot of times I will, you know, I'll either put on a podcast or I'll put on a book of some sort or something like that. Because my mind, that's how I get my mind to shut off. So,
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have somebody else do the talking.
Yep. 100%.
I get
at least
that.
Talk you to sleep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, Sue, it was good actually having you on the show. I mean, we connect all the time, but I just thought it would be cool for people to get to know somebody. You I was jokingly saying it, but I mean, there's a whole ton of people in Eau Claire, and we kind of started out. I mean, it's a special community for that, where you know, you had your McKay's and you had your donuts,
yes.
and you had your Sue's and your Bobby Trips, and you had this. Plethora of radio mm-hmm. talent that was a local staple for so long, and just watching it evolve and watching it kind of happen. It's cool to see you still there. You're holding your ground and
doing my best.
it's you know, in like 20 years from now, we can re-update this podcast. And,
yeah,
you know,
there you go.
Do you think your voice will be super scratchy by that point in time?
I really, really hope not.
Like you know, like truck stop waitress.
Oh my gosh, I hope not.
No?
I hope not. It depends on how long you keep me at the phones, making me answer phones.
You're good at that.
But, I'm kidding.
I mean, why would I not make sure that you answer the phone? And you only do it because you like me.
Well, you know what? You are about 100% accurate there. It's true. It's true.
<That's>
but
funny.
I enjoy it, though. I legit enjoy it.
That's a good closing question, too.
What's that?
Do you consider yourself, even though you do radio and you do theater, do you consider yourself like a really super outgoing person?
No.
Introvert or extrovert?
Okay, here's the thing. And people are going to laugh because if they know me, they're going to laugh. I'm an introvert because I need to have time to myself in order to be able to accumulate the energy it takes to be out in the public. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
But I am an outgoing person. So there's I'm an introverted outgoing person.
I actually get that because I'm the I mean, I will spin 24/7 all day long. I love to talk. And there are times when I go home and then I just need to shut her down.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a couple days in a row.
Yes.
But, you know, it's what
exactly.
it kind of takes to recharge and get it done. But,
yes.
All right, Sue. Well, thanks for joining today. I really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening out there. It was a good time. I hope you enjoyed your first podcast.
I had so much fun. Thank you so much for asking me. I'm so honored that you asked me. This is my first time, and I'm so glad that it was with you. Thank you.
Love you, Sue. Thank
love you.
Love you
back.
Bye.